Are you sick of hearing you don't have enough experience to get work? Visit iPath.com to get the first part of our auto damage certification for free. Hello and welcome to the Independent Adjuster Podcast by iPath. My name is Chris Stanley, and we're here to help you figure out how to get work in this industry and ultimately how to claim your life. Hey, IAs, welcome back to the Independent Adjuster Podcast. This is your host, Chris Stanley, and thanks for showing up again for another episode of the podcast. Today is another Claim Your Life episode where we're going to be using life currencies to try to look at our lives and try to look at our careers and say, how can we live a life that has balance? How can we live a life that is rich in more than one aspect? And so if you haven't listened to the other CYL episodes, the previous two, you probably want to listen to those before listening to this one, because today we're going to be breaking down the four life currencies and the features of each one of them. So we kind of gave you the big overview of the life currencies in the last episode. Here we're going to be breaking down each one individually and kind of the features of each of these currencies to where we can kind of be on the same page moving forward about the characteristics of each one of these. So I hope you enjoyed those other episodes. I hope maybe you're getting some light bulbs going off just in the way that you started navigating your life and thinking about, ooh, how am I spending my time? That was one of the life currencies. How am I spending my energy or my relationships or my money, whichever one that you're thinking the most about. But I'm just really hoping that you can start to look at life a little bit differently because of these things. But let's talk about the characteristics of each of these life currencies. So to recap, the four life currencies are time, energy, relationships, and money. So let's start Let's start with energy. And so energy, I think, is fascinating because there are four types of energy based on what I've thought about. There's really physical energy, mental energy, emotional energy, and spiritual energy. I know energy sounds really woo-hoo-y, but that's not just what we're talking about. We're literally talking about your body physically being able to move. And so an example of using your physical energy is, you know, digging a ditch. That takes a lot of physical energy, not as much mental energy necessarily, but it takes a lot of physical energy. A lot of mental energy is used when we're making decisions. So our mental energy is zapped as independent adjusters when we're deciding which claim am I doing in what order. That takes a lot of energy because we're making decisions. An emotional energy is, someone telling you, being empathetic as an independent adjuster. You're using a lot of emotional energy when someone's telling you a really, terrifying or sad story, or they're going through a lot in their life, or you have a fight with your spouse or your kids and you are having a rocky time. Your emotional energy is given up to that thing. And so we are very limited in all of these energies under the banner of energy, right? And your spiritual energy is really how connected you are to God. How much are you receiving of, in the way of your connection to God? Maybe you don't believe in God and you believe in nature. Well, how connected to you are in nature? But that spiritual aspect plays into this, and we're not going to go too deep into all that because I'm not an expert necessarily on spiritual energy. I would say read the Bible, get out in nature, do meditation, all those things. But all of these energies, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, affect each other. And my dad actually wrote a book, I think it's called Transforming Growth, but in it he talks about how, I think it's some fancy term like connectedness, neurobiology, something like that. It's like crazy term that I can't ever remember. But basically, when your emotions are affected, it affects your physical body. We tend to get that. Like you have a big fight with your wife or your husband, you usually feel like taking a nap, or you're super angry and you're just exhausted from being angry, right? It zaps your energy. If you make a lot of decisions, even if you didn't work hard, physically speaking, you're exhausted at the end of the day. And so these things affect each other and ultimately affect other people around us. And that's that interconnectedness of neurobiology or whatever. So it all is connected. We can't just ignore the spiritual side or ignore the physical side and think we're going to be okay. As a whole, we have to look at energy and say, where is our energy going? What are we doing? And what are we doing to recharge that energy? Because there are ways to recharge energy. So that's the kind of the four types of energy. But energy is, because of that, the most diverse. There's not a bunch of different types of time. There's not a bunch of different types of relationships. You have relationships, you have time, and there's money. While money might be very diverse because there's lots of different, literally currencies of the world, in the terms that we're looking at it, energy is the most diverse because we have those four different types of energy. And one important thing I want to point out about energy is the reason why exercise, I believe, is so important. You'll hear a lot of entrepreneurs and thought leaders and gurus and whatever talk a lot about exercise and being healthy, and it just helps so much. And that's great because, of course, our bodies are important and yada, yada, so cool. But when I can really tie it back to what it's doing, it motivates me a little more to be healthy. And so I want to give that to you today. So with energy, what I think and hypothesize is that the reason why working out in the morning, drinking a lot of water, all of these things is so important is that when you are at your peak physical condition, when you first wake up, you are like primed. You're recharged from your sleep, has recharged your physical energy. And then when you use a good morning routine, like working out, writing down what you're grateful for, reading the Bible, studying it, praying, meditating, all these things, what we're really saying we're doing is recharging those other energies. So you take your physical energy that you're at your peak. Hey, I'm really got a lot of self-control right now. I'm going to make myself sit still and think on the universe or God for a minute. And I'm going to be grateful for the life that I got to live yesterday. I'm going to write those things down, right? You're using your peak time, your physical energy at its highest, to convert into the other types of energy. And so I think that's why we feel so much better throughout the day if we start with a good solid morning routine. So you could start to see then, just by, if that is true, and I believe it is, that like, wow, this, we have a lot of levers that we can pull to really affect our life. And so when our life isn't going the way we want, we're not feeling the way we want, hey, we could start to look at these different currencies and go, how can I affect this currency? What can I do? What can I invest in that's going to help correct the imbalance that I am feeling? Okay, so that's kind of energy in a nutshell. There's a lot of different types of them, but you have to spend energy to do anything. So if you are bankrupt in all of your energy, you will do nothing. If you are out of mental energy, you will not make decisions. And if you are physically out of energy, you will not go and do a claim. If you are emotionally zapped, man, when I emotionally am zapped, I'm worthless. I'm like worse than a rug because I'm way bigger and in the way. Like, it is terrible. And spiritually speaking, if you are lacking in that energy department, then your willpower and everything that goes along with the spiritual aspect is going to start creeping into every aspect of your life. So just don't ignore the different types of energy. It's so important. All right. So time. Let's talk about time now for a minute. And time is the most finite of all of the life currency. So out of the four, it's the one that you have the least of. Okay, so you could say, hey, it's the most valuable. I'm not going to go that far and say it's the most valuable. It's just the most finite because you cannot get more time. Literally, it is impossible to get more time. You can save time. You cannot spend time by doing certain things, but that time is going to get spent one way or the other. You can't literally stockpile it for a later date. Time is finite and it is spent regardless. You can't actually store it away. So we really have to be careful with our time. And this is why I think so many people get very, very frustrated in life, is the world in our culture and our jobs and claims, they demand so much time. Like, I want you to watch this new series on Netflix. I need you to do these 100 claims. I want you to be at my baseball game, Dad. And all these things are pulling on our times and telling us this is how we have to spend our time. But literally, we cannot. We literally cannot spend our time on everything. And it frustrates us and it makes us mad. And there's a book I read, it's called, I think it was called 4,000 Weeks. And it's one of my favorite books I've ever read. But it's we on average have 4,000 weeks to live. And so when and he thinks that a lot of our frustration is embedded in that our brain knows that we have limited time and we're frustrated by it. We're mad that we're not infinite. We don't have an infinite amount of time and that we're mortal and we're frustrated with our mortality and that time is going to run out. But if you embrace that time is finite, we don't have unlimited time, then it can be really freeing because you realize that every minute, every hour you have is this extreme gift because we don't deserve it. We haven't done anything to deserve it. We just have this time. For whatever reason, if you believe in God, I believe we were created and he gave us this time and we are able to experience this world and relationships with people and all the amazing things we get to do, but we didn't do anything to deserve it. We were just there. If you believe in the Big Bang, then we really have just popped out of nowhere and we get this time. This amazing thing and the universe and the world does not owe us another minute. We could die right now. And it doesn't matter. And so if we can just embrace that and go, okay, time's finite. It can disappear at any moment. I don't deserve and I am not guaranteed another day. Then you start to really rethink the way that you live. You start looking at it from a different lens. You start going, okay, I'm not guaranteed to live to 67 or 70 or 80 or 90. Maybe I need to live today differently than I would have if I hadn't been thinking about my own mortality in a healthy way, not in a morbid way, but in a healthy way. And now time, the great thing about time is it doesn't slip away, you know, because we cannot store it up, but it also doesn't leave at a faster rate. And so you're able to say, hey, no, I am going to dedicate, I'm able to budget what I'm going to do this hour or these hours on this day to this thing. And should you live to that time in that place? Hey, great. You can spend your time doing that. And so each activity that you do, you aren't really losing anything by doing it. You're not gaining anything. You're not spending anything. It is just there. In that moment, when you spend an hour with your wife having coffee or whatever it is that you like to do, and you spend time with somebody or you spend on a project, you spent that hour there, but it's not like you spent $1,000 and now you have none left. No, assuming you get to live another hour, you get another hour. So regardless of how you spent your previous time, if you are still alive, you get more time. And there's nothing that you can do to spoil that or to gather that. So it's going to happen regardless. And so that can be that's a freeing thought to me when I realize, like, hey, if I'm going to spend my time playing ball with my kid, yes, this is healthy for a relationship, but there's no way to actually measure that this is a good thing to do, but this is a waste of my time, right? Well, is it really? Is it really a waste of my time? No, I don't think it is. I actually think there's benefit, especially when you look at it through the lens of life currencies. I'm investing that time now into my relationship with my two-year-old rather than I'm just wasting time. I could be doing something productive like making money or fixing the boat or whatever. It's a freeing thing to me to when I realize that time's going to be gone no matter what I do with it. So I can choose how I invest that hour. And it really gives me a lot of peace in the moment. So one thing that I want to point out about time is, and I could talk about each one of these infinitely, I feel like, but time, because it's so finite, know, the word know becomes so important. The reason why saying no in your business and to activities, and I default to no. If you ask me to do something, I'm going to say no. Like defaulting, no, I'm not going to do that. Like you ask me to do a Zoom call or a Zoom meeting, I'm going to say no. Like just will not happen. You ask me for help through text or something, yeah, sure. But if you ask me to do a meeting, I'm going to say no. And the reason why is if we are too loose with our yeses, we don't have any flexibility on how we spend our time. We've literally gave away all our current, present, and future time. And so you cannot respond to different situations. So saying no is a superpower. Learn to say no. Learn to say no, and you'll be able to, you know, allot and invest and spend your time the way that you actually value if you start to get good at saying no. The reason you don't have enough time right now is you're too good at saying yes and you're no good at saying no. All right. So let's talk about relationships now. So relationships, these we take for granted so much. And I believe that relationships are the most valuable of all of the life currencies. And I believe all growth, period, any type of growth in your life comes out of relationship. And I'm sure somebody could challenge me on that, but that's my hyperbole where I'm like, yo, growth, everything grows out of relationships. And I'll explain why I think that. If I want to start a business and make money, okay, I have to have a relationship with a customer. If I don't have a relationship with a customer, I can't make money. If I want to spend time meditating and praying, then I am having a relationship with God. I am growing, spiritually speaking, through a relationship that is happening. If I want to just get a job and I need a referral from somebody, I'm using a relationship to get a job. And so the growth that happens in our life is rooted somewhere in a relationship or something that came from a relationship. If I want to do push-ups to get in better shape, I had to learn how to do push-ups from somewhere through a relationship. So I believe that all growth comes out of relationships. And so without relationships, it's going to be really hard, if not impossible, to grow in your life, to grow in your marriage, to grow in your business, to grow in your energy. It's going to be really hard. So relationships are that kind of that anchor that we need that's going to allow us to grow moving forward. And it is the most powerful of the relation or of the currencies, because if you have a good relationship with someone, you can turn a relationship into any amount of money, as an example, that you can imagine. So you could say, like I said, hey, I got a referral from my father-in-law. So I was able to get my first claims as an independent adjuster. Great. That relationship resulted in however much money I've made over the last 13 years, a lot of money, right? As an independent adjuster. And then, but you can also have a relationship with somebody and get a government contract for millions of dollars because you have an existing relationship. Relationships are so powerful in comparison, especially to money or to time or to energy, because it's exponential rather than, you know, like just 1 + 1 = 2. It's like, no, one good relationship can carry you so far into converting it into the other life currencies, which we'll talk about exchanging life currencies in an upcoming episode. But it's super important to not overlook your relationships, because I think, too, that relationships are really where satisfaction and fulfillment come from. When we don't have relationships, healthy relationships, I think that's where depression comes in. I think that's where the frustration with life comes in, because what is the point if we don't have a relationship. We're saying, what's the point if I'm not growing? That's why we value growth, I believe, is because it is rooted in relationships. And if you're growing, you're probably relating and having relationships with other people. So relationships, super important. Don't overlook them. They're it's the hardest one to measure for sure, because you can't tell how good your relationship really is with someone. There's no number for that. So make relationships, though, the foundation of everything that you do. You set a goal, make sure it's rooted and found in a relationship. Your why of why you do things should be rooted in relationships. Otherwise, if you just want to make money, I've talked about this in the podcast before. It's not a good goal. But if you can root it in a relationship, you will be much better off in fulfilling that goal because it's rooted in a relationship. All right. Last and I consider least is money, the life currency of money. So the characteristics of money, how to explain this quickly. Money is a transferable representation of the other life currencies. So if I dig a ditch and you pay me $100, now I use some time, but a lot of energy to dig this hole for you or this ditch for you. I want you to dig it from here to here. Great. You pay me $100 no matter how long it takes me. You paid me $100 for my energy to dig that ditch because you didn't want to use your energy and or time to do that. So I took my energy and converted it into money, which I can then hand to somebody else in exchange for one of their life currencies. Hey, I don't want you to spend time with your wife, Chris. I want to pay you $100 so you can coach me. Well, now I'm giving up my relationship with my wife and I'm in my time and I am exchanging it for the liquid life currency, the transferable life currency of money. So money is just a representation, a physical representation of value that has been created in the world through the other life currencies. And when you start to have that aha, it can get really exciting or really scary depending on your viewpoint. If you realize that everything we do that creates money is literally giving up a piece of our life to earn it, you get more cautious with how you earn money because it's scary that you're literally turning in parts of your life, parts of you, in exchange for that money. And we know this. This isn't like revolutionary. Duh, Chris, I give up my time to make money. But it's like, no, wait. Like, really listen. These four currencies to me, the three currencies other than money, are what form and represent our life and the value that we have innately in our life is our energy, our time, and our relationships. And when we use those, we can convert it into money, which can be used in other places. But when we really sit and think on that, it gets really intimidating to me and really exciting at the same time, too, is that we can get really creative with how we earn money, how we use money, and what we're willing to give up and what we're not willing to give up. Because if you're making a lot of money, you are providing value to make to get that money. And some way, somehow, you've given up some life currencies to get that. And certain activities take a lot more life currencies to make money, and other activities don't take as much. I can make money with a book as an example, even when I'm sleeping. And yeah, I gave up some of my life currency to write that book, to publish that book and all that. But the great thing about it is I didn't have to give up as much. Whereas if I would do a conference and I give up 3 days of my life plus the 2 weeks it takes to organize my boat and my family and get traveling there and all the things it takes, well, that's a huge chunk of life currency I'm giving up for whatever monetary benefit I'm going to get. And so you'll hear me say, I don't do meetings, especially conferences. No way. It's not happening. Why? Because it literally is taking a chunk of my life, a chunk of my life currencies that I am not willing to forfeit in exchange for any amount of monetary benefit. And so that's why. And so money is liquid and it's transferable. And it's a representation of the others and it's the least valuable. You cannot take money and exchange it back. And this is a whole nother episode, so I don't want to go down this bunny trail too far. But you can't take the money you get in exchange for your life currency and then just flip it back and get those life currencies back. Doesn't work. I call that the life currencies exchange rate. You cannot work for a year, make $42,000 and say, I want to do over. Here's 42 grand. I want my time back. It doesn't work like that. Money is not as powerful as the other currencies. So we'll talk about that more in an upcoming episode, I'm sure. But that's important to realize, because although we push really hard for money, although we need to make money, we have to be careful how much we give up in exchange for that money. Because certain activities, as I said, get you more money for less currency. And it's important in your own life to start to distinguish what those are. So there was a ton in this episode. I mean, absolutely a ton. And so here's your exercise today. This is what I want you to do. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate how much of each currency that you have. So how much money do you have? Scale of 1 to 10. There's no perfect number. If you think $1,000 is a 6 in your bank account, great. If it's a 1, whatever, it's what you feel. How much currency of each one of these do you have? Money, energy, time, and relationships. Write it on your piece of paper where you wrote them out yesterday. Text it to yourself. Rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Where do you find yourself? What are you the richest in right now? Money, energy, time, or relationship? Or are you bankrupt in all of them? I mean, but having that awareness of where you're at is so important. So that's today's action. Write down scale of 1 to 10, where you're at in each of these life currencies, and then think back based on the features and some of the things and your own thoughts. I'm sure you have even more in-depth thoughts than even I'm having about each one of these currencies. What does that mean if you're rich in your energy? What does it mean if you're poor in your energy, or rich in your time and poor in your relationships? What does that mean for you in your life? But just rate it 1 to 10, these four. And then next episode, we'll come back and we'll talk more about these life currencies and how you can use it to claim your life. So keep walking your path and claiming your life. Are you dreaming of a career in auto damage, but find yourself not meeting the experience requirements? You can try the first part of our 7-part auto damage certification for free. This allows you to dive deep into auto damage training with no strings attached. And if you love it, you can continue on and purchase the full program. With this certification, you gain not just in-depth knowledge and skills, but also an all-access pass to our exclusive community, a full year of mentorship, and yes, get the 2 to 5 year experience requirement waived with over 40 firms. Your future in auto damage begins today. Visit iPath.com to start your free trial and discover where iPath can take you. iPath, claim your life.